Abigail Elliott is being interviewed by Renee Garalick for Concord's Oral History Program, sponsored by the Concord Historical Commission. The interview is being held at the Deaconess Rivercrest Retirement Home on January 22, 1979. Miss Elliott is 86 years old. Your life's work in the training of nursery school teachers served as prelude to your later retirement career and commitment to the mental health of the young.
Yes, for 30 years I was the head of what is now the Elliott Pearson Department of Child Study at Tufts University. It started as the Ruggles Street Nursery School and Training Center in Roxbury. It was one of three places where nursery school started in 1921. I had studied at the Rachel McMillan School in London. The other two places where nursery school started were New York at Teachers College, Columbia, and Detroit at the Merrill Palmer School. We came to know each other very promptly. At Ruggles Street Nursery School, I took over an old-fashioned day nursery and made it into a nursery school. The changes were chiefly that we were interested in the problem of education of very young children, rather than just care of them while their mothers were working. And I had learned at the Rachel McMillan School in London something of what is involved in the education of children from 2 to 5 years of age. Of course, I immediately became interested in the children who were emotionally upset for one reason or another. These children all lived in the inner city. They were a mixture of white and black and other ethnic backgrounds. Very early I became a friend of Dr. Douglas Thorne, who started about the same time what was then called the Habit Clinic, and he was interested in the emotional disturbances of young children. So we exchanged information, and he sent children to us, and we sent children to his clinic. In this way, I became deeply interested in the mental health of young children, as in the education of children. We started to train teachers of young children, nursery school teachers. And I took the first student in the fall of 1922. The Ruggles Street Nursery School and Training Center actually started January 1922. I had been, as I say, in England, studying at the Rachel McMillan School in London. The school outgrew the quarters at Ruggles Street, and we rented two buildings on Marlborough Street and changed the name of the school to the Nursery Training School of Boston, emphasizing the training of the teachers, but still keeping Ruggles Street as our demonstration school. We were at the buildings on Marlborough Street for a number of years, and the number of students, college-age students, who came to be trained to be teachers of young children grew rather rapidly, and we wanted them to get degrees. At first we took students who had had only 2 years of college, but very soon people with bachelor's degrees came and wanted to learn how to be teachers of young children. We made an arrangement with Boston University School of Education, and many of our graduates got master's degrees at Boston University, and some got bachelor's degrees. as the years went by, it became clear that we should make a permanent affiliation. The faculty, of course, increased, and the offerings which we gave increased until we had a good curriculum for the training of nursery school teachers, including a course in kindergarten education, which of course is the next step older than the nursery school. I was director of the nursery training school for 30 years, and it came time for me to retire. I had a very fine board of directors who raised the money needed, and of course the students paid tuition. But at the end of 30 years, it was time for me to retire, although I was only just 60 years old. In those days, women were considered not much good after they were 60. So, before I left, I saw to it that the school became affiliated with Tufts University. The buildings were still in on Marlborough Street, but the students went out to Tufts for some courses, and gradually the relationship to Tufts increased. When Mrs. Pitcher, Dr. Evelyn Pitcher, who has been the head for 16 years, came in as head, she promptly increased the enrollment of students, and the relationship to the university became closer. And President Wessel said, why not become a department? Although the alumni didn't like the idea of being melded into the university, it was the right thing to do, and under Dr. Pitcher's guidance, it became the Elliott Pearson Department of Child Study, which it is today. Throughout all this time, the interest in early childhood education, the psychology of human development, and mental health continued to grow, with more and more research coming forward to help us throughout the years. Dr. Pitcher herself did some very important research in the field. This was my background for understanding mental health. I went to California for 2 years to help them start training school for nursery school teachers at the Pacific Oaks Friends School. But then when I came back, after the 2 years, I came to live in Concord, where I already owned a house. I had professional friends in Concord who had known me and my work in Boston, and they immediately said, will you help us develop a facility in mental health here?
Mental health was not regarded then in the positive way it is now.
No, but there was a group of professionals who knew of its importance. And so about a dozen of us got together and decided that we would do something. And the thing that we first did was to organize the Mental Health Association of Central Middlesex, which still exists. Now, there had been interest in Concord in this field as far back as 1948. Some social workers and others had felt that this was an important field. But it wasn't until 1954 that we really got together from citizens from five towns, started to meet regularly to discuss it. It wasn't just Concord. Concord was the center, but it spread out to Carlisle, Lincoln, Acton, and other towns. And at first there were five towns, ultimately nine towns involved in this effort in mental health. We organized the Mental Health Association as an incorporated organization. and thought for 2 years among ourselves as to what facility we should begin with. And we decided on a child guidance clinic. So we established a child guidance clinic in 1958, calling it the Walden Clinic, but it was under the auspices of the Mental Health Association, and it opened its doors at 17 Elm Street, Concord, which was the parish house of Trinity Church. In the first year, we served 75 children. We had a full-time social worker in charge, and we had 2 part-time child psychiatrists and a part-time psychologist to do the work. It was privately supported, the clinic was privately supported for 2 years. The Concord Community Chest gave it an allotment for the second year and each year since. In a few years later, in 1960, we began to ask for public money to help. Of course, the parents of the children paid what fees they could. It was always on a sliding scale because we didn't want to rule out the children of the parents who couldn't pay a high fee, but we also didn't rule out those where they could pay the full price, because mental health doesn't affect just the underprivileged, but everybody, all groups of society, there is need for mental health facilities for this person or that person. And if it's needed, it should be available.
Was there a resistance at first in talking to somebody?
There was considerable resistance. And I can remember one person saying, why do we need a child guidance clinic here in the Concord area? And we have good schools, good homes, good churches, good police force. Isn't that enough? Well, all the churches and the police and the schools knew well enough that it was needed. And we have served those agencies and had reciprocal relations with them ever since.
They recommend children to you?
They recommend children to me. We send workers to the schools, to the court, to the various organizations as they want them, or individuals come into the clinic. It works both ways.
And the Walden Guidance Association has both inpatient and outpatient care?
They're not the Walden Guidance Association. The Mental Health Center, the comprehensive, let's have it this way, the Comprehensive Mental Health Center of Central Middlesex. To get the money from the federal government, we had to provide 5 services: inpatient service, outpatient service, daycare, education, and consultation. Now, the inpatient service we couldn't provide at the clinic, but Emerson Hospital inaugurated what is now called Wheeler 3, the psychiatric ward. And the Mental Health Association took on the education and consultation. By this time, the Walden Guidance Association had become an independent corporation, and they did the outpatient work and the daycare work, so that all 5 facilities of mental health were providing. And the grant from the federal government was for 5 years. It was a grant of about $300,000 to cover the expenses of these different parts of the program. We, of course, also continued to get money from the community chest and to have fees from the patients or their parents. And then we got money from the towns. We started early to ask the towns at town meetings to give us a per capita sum for this mental health facility, on the ground that it should exist in the town, and therefore the town tax money should help. It has done so ever since, ever since 1960. And each town has given a per capita sum. It started at about 50 cents per capita, and it now has gone up in Concord to 90 cents per capita. That's the way it is planned. This gives us local tax money. Then we have state money, and that is given for special workers, a salary for special workers. And then there was the federal grant. Now the federal grant was for 5 years, but it was extended for three more, making eight in all.
And what years did that cover?
Now that eight-year grant gave out in 1977 and was not renewed. And this made the financial situation difficult. However, by that time, the hospital and citizens of Congress have become convinced that this is very important. And Wheeler III, the psychiatric department of the hospital, has gone on most successfully under a very fine psychiatrist, Dr. Merrifield. The clinic has continued with its outpatient work and its daycare facility. And we have a very fine staff of psychiatrists, psychologists, and social workers. We have a comparatively new executive director who is putting the Walden Guidance Association on its feet financially, because after the federal grant gave out, there was a very difficult financial situation. And this hasn't fully been corrected yet, but he is doing it, and doing it well. And I think in the course of a year or so, we will be in good financial shape again.
What was the reason for the Walden Guidance Association being separate from Central Middlesex Mental Health?
Yes, we started under the Mental Health Association, but we found that the state Mental Health Association wanted a proportion of our budget to help support them. And we were by that time running the clinic. And if we had given them the proportion they asked for, we wouldn't have money enough to run the clinic. And we couldn't do it. So the answer was to move out of the Mental Health Association and set up our own organization called the Walden Guidance Association. Its sole purpose was the clinic and the daycare center. And we added, since that time, a therapeutic nursery school, which is run along the lines of a true nursery school, but it is for children who are disturbed. And it has been in existence a good many years now and has done splendid work under good teachers with a child psychiatrist supervising, sure that each child who's disturbed is getting the best possible care. And we work with the parents. The parents have meetings to learn what they should do to help these children become completely normal in their emotions. In 1966, the Massachusetts Community Mental Health Act was passed by the General Court. And in January of that year, the Walden Guidance Association Board voted that it intended to add adult services to the Walden Clinic. We had been dealing only with children. It also declared itself to be in favor of accommodating all mental health services near Emerson Hospital. We were growing so that we knew we needed more space, and other agencies in Concord were too. The Family Service Society, for instance, the Red Cross, the Minuteman Association for Retarded Children. And we knew that we ought to be near each other, and that therefore we must find a building that would house us all. And the Walling Guidance Association, I was president at the time, said very clearly that we felt we needed to be near the hospital because mental health, the treatment of mental illness, is a branch of medicine, and therefore we must be close to the hospital. So we approached the hospital, and the hospital let us have a piece of their grounds, renting it to us for $1 a year. Mm-hmm. And we raised money to put up what is the community agency's building. It is next door to the coming building and connected with it, but it is a separate building. The community agency's corporation was set up. The purpose of this corporation was to raise the money and erect the building for the six agencies which would occupy it. The community agency's building was completed in 1968.
You have seen mental health come into its own then in the last 25 years.
Yes, I came to Concord to live in 1954, and the interest in mental health has grown steadily. More and more people understand it. The people in the schools, the courts, community chest, all the citizens realize that this facility is important to the community. It is a community of nine towns, and we serve those nine towns effectively.
In your lifetime, you have had the distinction of pioneering in two careers.
They were connected. Mm-hmm. The education of young children and the mental health of children and adults are closely tied together because mental health, the beginnings of mental illness, reflect what has happened in earlier life. And if we can help people while they're young, they will become stronger adults for the future and for the good of the community.
Thank you.